In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So Roman Catholic, Anglican, Baptist, and Pentecostal meet up for lunch at Kelsey's. You know that's all we do anyway, I mean, really. And they're having a conversation about the Bible. And the Pentecostal says, I like the King James Version. It's articulate, it's formal, it's traditional, word for word. Roman Catholic said, I like the Good News Version of the Bible, simple, easy, laid back. No mass, no fuss. Did I mention the Lutheran went? He showed up late. He arrives and he says, the Revised Standard Version is my favorite. I love the language. I love the tone. It's just perfect. And they all looked at the Anglican and said, do you guys use the Bible? I mean, the Anglican smiled and said, yeah, I've got my favorite version. And they said, well, is it King James, Revised Standard Version? Good News? Is it Eugene Patterson's The Word? Which one do you use? What's your favorite? He said, Grandma. Grandma? Never heard of that translation of the Bible. He said, yeah, it's the grandma translation. She read it and she lived it. You may be the only Bible anybody ever reads. Let me say that again. You may be the only Bible anybody ever reads. What they see and hear from you will be the foundation of their faith. In the last week, how'd it go? By your life and example, how many people do you think saw the light and love of Jesus Christ through you? Jesus is having a rough time in the gospel today. Did you notice? Every once in a while, I'll be leaving out the door, and Joyce very politely puts her arms around me and gives me a hug and a kiss on the cheek, and she says, now remember. I said, I know the theology of Thumper from Bambi. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. I got it. Sometimes I get it. You and I, when people see us, do they see the light of Christ? Jesus having a really difficult time in the gospel today, and so he's coming along with the disciples, and suddenly something happens for him. His focus gets so clear, he sets his eyes to Jerusalem. He's not going that way. He's not going that way. He's got his eyes set on Jerusalem. And this is why he's running out of time, and he knows it. You know, if you preach the good news of the kingdom and you heal enough people, somebody's going to get upset that you're messing with the apple cart. And when they get upset, somebody's going to figure out how to get rid of you. You become a problem because you're an agent of change, an agent of new beginnings and new experiences, new opportunities. And Jesus knew his time was running short. He had said and done enough to catch too many people's attention. And he had no regrets, but he knew that it would cost him and cost him soon. And so he set his eyes. Here's the problem. When you and I set a focus, I mean a real focus for our lives, whether it's in your career or in your home or with your friends, when you set a focus, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to come up against some opposition. Or at the very least, some distraction. What happens in the gospel? You got a copy of it in front of you as well as I do, and we take a look at this a little bit.
And the first thing that happens is that Jesus remembers that he hasn't finished things up in Samaria. And so he says to the disciples, get things ready and set up a mission in Samaria. And so the disciples go to Samaria and they said, oh, lovely to see you. You know, my favorite English accent, right? Imagine John and James doing my favorite English accent. Oh, hello. If we had tea, might we pop by for a few days and do a little mission? And the people of Samaria said, keep walking. Don't even slow down. Not one more step. Stay out. Well, the disciples, who are both known as a bit of a hothead, return to Jesus and say, they've rejected us. Many, many years ago, I worked with an African-American pastor out of Detroit. His name was Walter Cheeks, and he was a Baptist pastor and a Detroit detective. And I was working with him in Ashland, Ohio, and one night his phone rang, and he got on the phone, and he was a little irritated with the person on the other end of the phone. And I could hear her voice. And then he said the forbidden phrase. He forgot Bambi. And he said, if you women dead man walking, if you women can't get it together in the kitchen, I'm gonna burn it down. Now, Walter was 300 pounds, and he would wear a silk blue suit with blue patent shoes, honest to God. And he was sitting beside me, and I poked him and said, you can't say stuff like that. He said, have you met them? I said, you're live on the phone. You just can't say stuff like that. And then I read the gospel today. You ready for this? When the disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? I'm going to burn it down. I'm not only going to burn it down, but I'm going to burn down everybody in it. I remember saying to Walter, who became a very good friend, Walter, I don't understand some of the language patterns and the behaviors. He said, listen, you're the funniest little white boy I have ever met. Everything I say is biblical. Burn it down. Jesus has compassion and patience and understanding and says, we're all different. We need to learn how to be patient with each other. He has said it all the way through the New Testament. We're all different. We need to be patient with each other. Be love and kindness and compassion and understanding. Go back to the New Testament lesson. Love and compassion and kindness. I don't know about you. Sometimes I read these lessons all in one Sunday, and I'll say, the expectations of my behavior in the next week leave me exhausted. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Then it says, all this, by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Oh, I'm never getting there. I don't know about you, I'm okay with self-control until we get to salt and vinegar chips. I'm done. I can solve a lot of trouble with a large bag of salt and vinegar chips and Alka-Seltzer. Self-control. Jesus has self-control. He's patient, he's merciful, he's compassionate, he's gentle, and he says about the Samaritans, we're all different, and we need to accept each other, let's just move on. Dust off the sandals, move on. Dust off the sandals, move on. How many times in the last week,
Instead of beating yourself up about something not going right, would it have been smarter just to dust off the sandals and move on? Just asking, not pointing at anybody in particular. Stop shaking your head. Here's the reality. We all go there. Instead of just saying, listen, you don't want me around? I don't need to be around. Lord, bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and grant you peace. And mean it. Now you got to mean it. I know. You got to mean it. But just move on. Jesus understood he had to move on. Then he's got some challenges. And I don't know about you. Some people get irritated by how he handled this. Now, going along the road, and someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lie his head. What's he talking about? He's living a nomad life. One day at a time, one minute at a time. There's no fancy stuff in his life. He's all about relationships, not the stuff. To another, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, first I have to go and bury my father. Now, you would think he's being a little insensitive here, but Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. At that time and in that culture, these funeral experiences went on almost a year. You know, we wrap it up in our culture in 3-4 days, which, by the way, I don't think is long enough. But they would take it a year, and Jesus is saying, I think I recognize you and I remember your dad and it's been a really long time. You need to start getting some help so that you can walk through this and move beyond. Get some help to walk through this and move beyond. Then there's more. Another said, I will follow you, but let me first say farewell to those of my home. And Jesus says, no one who puts the hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. What's he saying? This is a hard lesson. And I just had it recently, and I would like 2 or 3 of you to have it. It's a hard, hard lesson. I said to Joyce out at the farm, I am struggling with the gospel. She said, well, tell me about the context. And I said, it's about taking a plow and a horse at Jesus time and not taking your hands off the rein and always looking forward. I said, I don't understand why. She said, I have a solution for this problem. I said, oh, good. She said, get on the horse. I said, is there any other solution? So she gets on the horse and she says, no, listen. When you're on a horse, you got to face where you're going. The horse reads your body language. The horse reads your intent. You got to grab hold of the reins and face the way you're going. I said, what? And that horse spun around so fast, I thought I was going to fall off and smack my head again. She said, see? You've got to stay focused because the horse knows that it's taking its cue from you. She said, now I want you to imagine you're standing, you've got a plow, the horse is out front, the horse can read the signals and the reins by how you move. You can't turn or the horse will turn and so will the plow and the field will look like this. How many of you got a field looking like this in your head? How many of you got a field looking like that in your soul right now? There's good news. There's good news. And the way Jesus handles all of this is he says, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, you're not ready quite yet. Isn't that the beauty of what Anglicans refer to as sanctification? It's a lifelong process. You're not ready yet. It's time to refocus. It's time to look where you're going and stay focused. Now, the beauty of the summertime is that it all can slow right down. Anybody else up for a slowdown? Man, we just got started and I need a break. The slowing down of Jesus' pattern of a theology of leisure, and this is from my good colleague, Kevin Dixon. He wrote this material. And it's the theology of leisure. And it goes like this. Whenever Jesus had had enough of the chaos and confusion of the world, he disappeared to a beach. I'm in. I am in. I promise I will not take off my shirt. I'm just going to go and walk on the beach. I need to hear the waves. I need to be reminded of the majesty of creation. When he'd really had enough of people, he went for a long walk in the woods, praying. Long walk in the woods, I'm in. He took time to slow it all down, refocus, and gently and patiently reorientate his heart and his mind for what God was calling him to do. And for Jesus in the gospel today, he was running out of time. He was coming near the end of his journey. And so he did not handle distraction well. Here's the thing about distractions. You got to put down a part of who you are to pick up a part of what they want you to be. Let me see if I can find a fancy way to say this. Not good. Every time you pick up a part of who they want you to be, what they think you should say, what they think you should do, where they think you should go, what they think you should be, you lose a part of who you are and who you're called to be by God. Jesus couldn't afford the distractions anymore. He was in a hurry. He was focused. He needed to get where he was going. So this summer, I want to invite you to be very gentle with yourself. Slow it down. Focus on the call from God. Focus on where you're going and how you need to get there by God's grace and mercy. Try not to be so profoundly influenced by everyone pulling and tugging and poking and jabbing. But stay focused. As a child of God. Now, some of you I'm going to see every week this summer. Okay, that's a lie. A few of you I'm going to see every Sunday this summer. Some of you I'm going to see occasionally this summer. Some I'm going to see some of you in October. And I know that. I'm standing here just telling truth. So if we don't get a lot of time together this summer, if we don't get a lot more opportunities to share, could you just take this little tiny suggestion? Words of my great-grandmother. Love on yourself. Just allow God's love to flow through you, through his word, through his music, through his liturgy, and through your time in the forest and on the beach. May we as a community begin the theology of leisure with deep appreciation to Kevin Dixon for his work, and embrace the opportunity to renew ourselves in the next 2 months. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.